Very special day. Today is Rosh Chodesh Adar. Rosh Chodesh Adar, and it's Parshas Pekudei. Erev Shabbos Parshas Pekudei. Shabbos Chazak Chazak Venis Chazek. Okay, and what is the Haftarah? Does anyone know for sure what the Haftarah is today, the Shabbos? Right. So, according to the article, it would appear that it's Parshas. They're both from Malachim. They're both very similar. Yeah. They're both very similar. They both describe the binyan of the Beis HaMikdash, different parts of the Beis HaMikdash, and both from Malachim. They write almost next to each other. But I think I saw in one of the Tikkunim, Tikkun Karim, it says very clearly that in this year, when we have not yet laid the Haftarah of Parshas Vayakel, because last week was Parshas Shkolim, therefore this week we're supposed to begin the series and laying from...
There are years you don't lay either of them.
Okay, that's correct. Every year is different, every year. But it appears that not everyone agrees to that, what I've seen, that no, we should in fact lay in the ordinary Haftarah for Parshas Pekudei. We have to clarify that later today. Any event, let us go learn a few things about this week's Parsha. Let's start with... First idea is the conclusion and the building of the Mishkan. Chazal tell us, Rashi actually quotes this in the very, very beginning, that the building of the Mishkan was the kapara for the Chet Ha'ega. Let me read you the Rashi. Eile fikudei ha-mishkan, mishkan ho'edos. Eile fikudei ha-mishkan, mishkan ho'edos, asher pukad al pi Moshe. Rashi. Rashi, jumping down over here in the Rashi's a little bit. Why does it say that the Mishkan? So Bikudei over here means the counting, okay? This is the parasha for anyone that is doing accounting. This is your parasha. Okay, we're going in this week's parasha to make an accounting to take inventory. Inventory, they still do that today, take inventory? Does that practice still exist? You shut down the store for a day to take inventory?
Yes. You need inventory for your...
What? They go to Dunkin' Donuts, 4 o'clock in the morning.
A lot of places, I know, textiles, keep cyclical inventory.
What does that mean?
Do an inventory
audit. And they shut down the store?
No, they don't shut it down.
Oh, not anymore. I remember when I went to college and told us about taking inventory. It was such a, they said, no, the minhag in America is the store is closed. There's a day when they shut the doors, all the employees have to come, and you have to take inventory.
A lot of times they do it during the night.
In July.
Yeah, quiet, vacation.
And the middlemen, the middle workers, in management.
The union's on vacation.
The union's on vacation, management with doing
inventory. Or you do it after hours. You spend the night.
Oh, after hours. Okay, so then you got to pay overtime. You got to pay overtime.
Absolutely.
I've turned Malachim. Okay.
Your accountant has ordered it and signs off.
This is what about this year? I've turned the Shabbos special. You're not going to do Shabbos tomorrow. This is for this year. But the question over here is this: we have to analyze. We have to look carefully because There's such a thing of a series. You have a few examples like this. Is that the Haftorahs have to be read in sequence. And you can't skip. Sometimes you have two parashas that go together. It was meant to be read as a team. And if you have not read the first one, it's not proper to read the second one. The question is, does that apply when it comes to Vayakel Pekudei as well? That's what appears to be the issue. Are the two Haftorahs a team?
Mm-hmm.
Or the two Haftorahs completely independent one of another. If they're a team, so then you can't read the second half of the team until you read the first half of the team.
Okay,
Rabbi Yisrael, let's get there. We have over here inventory. In this week's parasha, the Torah takes inventory of all the donations that were given, all of the donations that were given to the Beis HaMikdash, and to see exactly what they were used for. And in fact, Moshe Rabbeinu got a little bit nervous because there was a discrepancy of 1,775 shkolim that were missing. And people began to accuse, they began to murmur that maybe Moshe Rabbeinu pocketed the 1,775 shkolim for himself. And he had siyata d'shmaya And he remembered that he picked up his eyes to Shemayim Hashem. What am I going to do now? These people, they don't give me a minute to breathe. What am I going to do now? I can't figure out where that extra money went. And then he saw the hooks, the Vavei Ha'amudim, the Yes Ha'elef, the Elef, the Shvameis, the Shivim, the Chamisha, Baruch Hashem, I remembered we used that money to make hooks to hold up the curtains that surrounded the Mishkan. Rashi here says, the Mishkan Ha'edus, why is it called Edus? Edus li Yisrael, Sheviter Lohem HaKadosh Baruch Hu al Maiseh Ha'egel. Shaharei Hashem was Viter. That's a very fascinating word that Rashi has. It doesn't say Hashem was Mechaper. Hashem gave them atonement. Doesn't say Hashem was moichel. There's mechila, there's kapara, there's slicha. You can go have a whole dictionary of words to express the concept that Hashem forgave Klal Yisrael. Each word has its unique connotation, very unique. And none of the above, Rashi selected with viter. What is viter? That's not that's not what I meant. I just want to point it out. Shaviter lohem HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Where did Rashi get this word? Is this part of the Medrash? You have to go look at this, where we quote it from. HaKadosh Baruch Hu al Maiseh Egel Shahari. What's the proof? Hishresh Shechinasai Beinehem. The fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu allowed his divine presence to rest among the Jewish people can be because Hashem forgave Klal Yisrael. Question. Why? What exactly is there about the building of the Mishkan? What exactly about it, what element, what aspect about it brings forth the idea that we deserve to be forgiven? It's very nice. You're connecting two dots. But they're apples and oranges. Klal Yisrael committed a grievous sin. They worshipped the eagle. We build the Mishkan. Hashem rested the Shechina. Along comes Chazal. Poof. These two go together. What are you talking about? My Indian Shemitah Eitzel Har Sinai, just because we built the Mishkan and Hashem rested the Shechina, means Hashem forgave us for the Egel? What do they have to do with one another? A child does a terrible thing to his parents. The parents, just because the parents let him live in the house, they still continue to pay his tuition. That means that the parents forgave the child for doing something horrible? The parents pay the tuition because they have to pay the tuition. The child committed a crime, he'll suffer for the crime. What are these two things? What does one have to do with the other? This is a very tough question. Okay, so I saw some of the Farshim struggle with this question. One answer, a very simplistic answer, which I really want to build upon that, is because in this listing, when we make an accounting, when we take inventory of what is going on here, there's lots of materials. There's gold, silver, copper, zahav. There is kesef, okay, copper. What other materials are there? Wool, linen. There are 13 different materials. What's the first one on the list? The first one on the list, Pasuk of Dalet, Kol HaZahav. We make a calculation of how much gold there was. Klal Yisrael should be so embarrassed from the word Zohav, it should be the last item on the list. They took gold, Vidi Zohav, the gold that Hashem blessed them with from Bizas Mitzrayim, and what did they use it for? They made the Egel HaZohav. We are very embarrassed from that word Zohav, that item, because what's the proof? Is that on Yom HaKippurim, the ultimate day, Yom HaKippurim, the Kohen Gadol does not wear his big day Shemoina when he goes into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. That says it all. If the halacha in the Torah is don't wear the big day Shemoina, just walk into the Kodesh HaKadoshim with four white garments and don't wear the special garments which contain gold, because it's going to remind Hashem that you have committed the worst possible avera of bowing down to an idol. So, you know, we're a little bit nervous. We're not going to use the Kohen Gadol is not going to go into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. On Rosh Hashanah, when you blow shofar, it would really be ideal that the shofar should be plated with gold. Mahadir, beautify the shofar. No. Don't add any gold to your shofar. Do not beautify your shofar because it's Rosh Hashanah. and the shofar is like you're going in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, Ein Kateger Nasa Sanega, you don't want to remind the Kodesh Baruch Hu of the Egel Hazov. Gold is something that we are ashamed of because we have used gold to sin, misuse the gold, to worship an idol. Yet, in this week's parasha, we're not embarrassed. Gold is the first item on the list. Gold was still used to make the Oroin, it was used to make the Kruvim, it was used for the Kalim. Gold is in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. It's true, we have to have a balance. We don't overdo it by wearing gold on Yom HaKippurim and the Shofar, but gold is here, it's front and center. That is an indication that Hashem has forgiven us for the Chei to Egel. That is it's a nice answer, okay? It's not all that satisfying, but I think there's already a start. That answer, that's how, the question is a very big question. The question is a very great question. What is the Eidos? Why is Parshas Pikudei, the parasha of accountability and cheshbonos, what is that, why is that called Eidos? The Mishkan HaEidos, the Pikudim, the Pikudei HaMishkan, the Mishkan HaEidos, this calculation is a testimony that Hashem forgave us for the Chet O'Egel. So I want to build upon this and say something very simple. There's another question the Farshim ask, and they don't really give a good answer. I didn't see a good answer. When it comes to the Kesef, the silver listed in this parasha, the Torah makes a very precise calculation of where every single penny went. It says how much silver was collected. Pasuk says the Kesef and the silver, Pikudei Hoida Me'as Kikar, 100 talents, the Elef, and another 1,775 shkolim. 1,000 talents plus 1,775. And then it goes on to tell you exactly what they did with every single penny of the 100 talents and 1,775. And when for one moment they didn't know what happened to that 1,775, Moshe Rabbeinu was in a matzav of sakana, oh no, I'm in a lot of trouble, until he had siyata shmaya, we used it for the hooks. Every penny is accounted for in this week's parasha. But guess what? The gold, it just tells us the sum. How much gold was there? The ekol kol hazahav, he'asul la'molacha, b'chol molechas ha'kodesh, v'hi zavah t'rufa, teisha v'eshem kikar, 29 talents of gold. Ushvameo, 700, ushloishim, 730 shekel. 29 talents of gold, and 700, what did I say, and 730 shiklei zav. And now, new cheshbon, we're taking inventory, right? We're shut down for today. Business, we're not open for business today. But everyone has to be here because we're taking inventory. No, let's make a cheshbon. How much gold was used for the menorah? Please tell me. How much gold was used for the shulchan? How much gold for the kruvim? How much gold for the aron? How much gold for all the clothing of the... No. Let's make a cheshbon, please. Silence. Not one word. Not a single word is mentioned of how much gold was used with the calculation. Silver? Boy, do we make a calculation. Moshe was almost lynched because Moshe did not know b'diyuk every single last cent where the money went. What's going on? Is this an obvious question? I couldn't find a good answer to this question. Okay. Yeah, what's your suggest?
I'm going to quote it. In the Me'enish of Torah, he asked that question, so he said, gold was given by the rich people.
Yeah.
So the rich people, they're not so machbid. The other, the silver, every single person had to give, that they're machbid on.
Pumfa keret, I would say. The rich people all got rich because they're stingy. And that's normally the way it is. People are rich, they're usually very stingy, because that's how they get rich. Everything is gecheshmen. Poor people, that's why they're poor. They're not calculating.
I find that when we have events, that we give people scholarships.
Yes.
The ones who get the scholarships are the biggest complainers.
The takers.
Yes.
The takers. That's a sad story. It's a very sad reflection of society. But I hear the answer. However, I have to think about it. Okay, you know, I believe him. Of course I believe him. I hear the who's he quoting?
Silver was the only coinage.
So what? It's a matter of coins. There's 29 talents of gold. How many of these talents were used to make the menorah? How many were used for the shulchan? How many for the aron? When it comes to the silver, it says, Beka, la gilgoyles, macha, it's a shekel, shekel, kodesh, kluchoi there. Vahima as kikar lot sekes, es adne hakoidesh, the es adne haporeches.
To deal with the amount of gold, since they threw away all their gold to the Egel, so much of the gold to the Egel, now they were too embarrassed to even make a cheshbon on
it. Oh, that's what I'm trying to get to. That's exactly what I'm trying to get to. What's the Edus? The Edus is a little bit different. Edus is, they took, when it came to make the Egel, they came to Egel, it was a big deal. It was a big deal to collect money. No one wanted to give money for the Egel. The men went to the women. Can you give us some your earrings? No. It didn't come easy to make the Egel until the men had to rip the earrings either off themselves. Some say they ripped the earrings off their wives. But it wasn't easy. They went, they had to work to make the collection of gold to make the Egel Hazov. Here we have the Pekudim. Okay, let's take inventory. When it came to gold, cheshbonos, everyone froze. You don't make any cheshbonos. But I'm talking the rich, the poor, everyone who gave gold. There's no need to make a cheshbon. We give the gold to Hashem with the greatest generosity. The greatest generosity, when you give a present, the greatest generosity you give in a present, don't make cheshbonos. You're so giving. Take.
They didn't ask for receipts.
But it was a struggle.
That's the point.
This is the tshuva. This is the edus that Hashem forgave Klal Yisrael for the Egel. Is that when it came to gold, something that was used to make the Egel and they struggled with it, here they went to the other extreme. Not only were the people generous in giving an abundance of gold to build the Mishkan, their generosity overflowed. They did not even want a receipt. I don't even want a tax deduction for this. I don't even care. I want to give it with such shleimus, I don't want anything in return. No receipts, no deductions, nothing. Give, no cheshbonos. That's the edus. The edus of this week's parasha, it's Eilef Fikudei. It's not just edus, it's the accounting, the calculation of where all of the money went. The fact that when it comes to the gold, the silver, and it comes to this, all the other materials, the psukim here go into detail exactly where every single little penny went. When it comes to the hooks, they were going crazy, where did the money go? But when it came, when it came to the gold, there was no calculation. The generosity, the extreme generosity, this was the way Klal Yisrael showed how remorseful, how much regret they had for the Egel HaZohav. They went here to the other extreme. The absence of the calculation is the edus that HaKadosh Baruch Hu forgave Klal Yisrael for the Chet Egel. The fact that the Torah records the calculations, but omits the calculation, because by design they didn't want to know from it, this is the way of Hashem saying, I got the message. I got it. I see your sincerity. I see how much it bothers you. I see how much you've done to teshuva, you've gone to the other extreme, and therefore I want to record this in the Torah, make a whole parasha just for you to record. What are we recording? We're recording just a whole backdrop to show you what's absent. In order, that's the Eidos. That I forgive you, I accept your sincerity, and I forgive you for the Chet HaEgel. Okay, let's...
It may not be exactly forgiving, because as you said earlier, the term is not forgiving.
Viter.
It's kind of letting go.
Letting go. Okay, yeah, that's...
In that sense, go of their gold.
Right. Okay, let me discuss that. This idea is a little bit more...
It looks like the kesef here is from the master's.
There were three donations of Kesef. It said that was Parashas Kisisa. There were three donations of Kesef. There was for the Adonim, there was for the Korbanos, and then there was general donation. A general donation from the Mishkan, whatever you wanted. That was not Adal or Yad Osher. That was a general donation. So there was an opportunity to give silver for your heart's desire. Two of the silver's donations were, if I'm not mistaken, was B'diuk, a Machsa Shekel, for the Adonim. There were two counties.
And that was only one.
That was only one of the counties was only once for the Adonim.
Only once.
So the Adonim.
Everybody had
the Adonim. Everyone is in the foundation of Klal Yisrael, so everyone is equal. The Adonim. But when it comes to Kurbanos, always we're all equal in Kurbanos. When it comes to general donation, you cast them and give whatever you want. Okay, let's now go to another. This idea is a little bit more delicate. You have to keep a little bit of a cheshbon. I personally believe, for myself, I find the hardest perek that I've ever learned in my days of learning is in Bava Metzia, which for me is the hardest mesechta. It's hard, very hard for me, Bava Metzia. And specifically, Perek HaZohav. Perek HaZohav is a very, very difficult perek in Mesechta Bava Metzia. And the perek begins with the words HaZohav Koine Es HaKesef, HaKesef Einoi Koine Es HaZohav. Okay, let me just read those words. The Gemara right away starts off, jump down to the end of the Mishnah. Masli le Rebbe, le Rebbe Shimon Berei. Rabbeinu HaKadosh taught his child the Mishnah. He taught him the words of the Mishnah. Hazav, koine es hakesef. Like we learned. Amale, so his son said to his father, Father, I remember many years ago you taught me just the opposite. You taught me that kesef is koine zav, and not that zav is koine kesef. Contradiction. Contradiction. So the father said, you're right. When I was young, I'm not going to say, when I was young, I believed, I work with the assumption that it's kesef, it's zohav, that's koine kesef. Amalei, shenizva b'yaldusecha ha-kesef, the other way around. It's kesef, koine es ha-zohav. The sachso of the sishne lanu bezikmusecha hazov koine es hakesef. What's going on over here? The Gemara then says, and let me read the words and explain how this applies to our parsha. Bialduse my savar v'zaknuse my. What was this thinking? The Gemara says bialduse savar dahava dechoshev havitiva kaspa deloy choshev havi pera v'konile pera litiva. The pre is koine the tiva. The zignuse sovar kaspo the chodif have a tiva, the have a chodif have a pera. The kodile pera the tiva. Okay, to make a long story short without spending an hour on this, is what is more valuable, what is a more valuable commodity in life? What is more valuable? So there's gold and silver. What's the difference between the two? Well, they're different types of metals. When I was young, I used to think that what's more valuable is gold. Gold is a precious metal. It's more precious than silver. Gold is more chashev, and therefore, okay, we're not going to go through the whole dynamics of the Gemara, what it means back and forth, zav and kesef, because it'll take much too long. But in a nutshell, the Gemara says that when I was a young man, I believed that gold is the most choshev thing in this world. Because people, they put in Fort Knox. What's in Fort Knox? Gold bars, right? Gold bars. Do they have in Fort Knox silver bars?
No.
To the best of my knowledge, no.
They have gold bars still?
Do they have, silver bars or gold bars?
Gold.
They have silver also? But not as much. You don't hear about silver too much. The main thing you hear about is the gold. That's the ick, okay? You go to the Olympics. What do you want to win? A gold or a silver? You want to win the gold medal, right? The gold, that's where it's all at, the gold. Okay, to win the silver medal, bronze, second fiddle. That's not what you want. You want the gold. Gold is, that's what I was a young man. Gold is hush. When I got older, I realized, you know what's really hush in this world? Kesef is more chashev. And that changed the halacha from zav and kesef, what's called a commodity, what's called a currency, what's called a commodity, which one acquires the other. When I got older, I realized silver is more chashuv. So I saw in Rabbi Shur's sefer, Rabbi Avraham Shur, halekach v'halivov, and I don't know if it's his vart or he's quoting someone, explaining, but what changed in the thinking of Rebbe from when he was young to became old. Rebbe, when he was young, believed the goal in this world is to become very great, covered, to win the gold medal. You take the gold medal, you put it in your safety deposit vault, you acquire greatness, you sit and learn the whole day, you become a Talmud Chacham, you're a Shemayim, and you focus on yourself, you focus on greatness. When I got older, I realized that's not greatness. You know what greatness really is? What have you done for someone else today? It's not about you. It's not about how much money you have under your mattress. It's about what benefit have you provided someone else with. What have you done for this world? What have you done for your fellow man? Silver is used as a currency. When you go to the store, how do you pay? How do you pay for objects, for products? You pay with what? Money. Well, what's money throughout history from beginning to today? Silver. Silver. But not small. You pay with silver. Silver is universally from whatever. Why it's that? That's how it was. From time immemorial, silver is called chorif. It circulates. It circulates in society very, very quickly. People do not go around with gold coins in their pocket. When you need to make a big purchase, so then you bring your gold coins to go buy a property, go buy a house. You want to go buy a house, so you come with your gold coins. But when you want to go to the store to go buy food, you come with silver coins. Silver coins is the choice of metal, which is used to interact with your fellow man on a daily basis. Gold is something that you keep in your safety deposit vault. It doesn't go anywhere. It's there. It represents you're a great person. When I was young and foolish, I believed that, you know what's important in this world? Gold. How much I have stored away in my safety deposit vault. When I got older, I realized, you know what's important in life? You know what's real? You know what real value in this world is? The ability to communicate, to interact, to deal with other people in a responsible way, to provide them with benefits, to communicate with them, to deal with them, to live and to share this world with other people. That is real value. And because, this is incredible, and because that's real value, it changes the halacha. If the real value is gold, then there's a whole rule, not for now, which one acquires the other? Can you change your mind when the deal is only in the middle? What's called the real value? You have to know when you do commerce. You have to know what's the currency and what's the real value. When I was young, I thought the real value was gold because that's your net worth. What's your net worth? Are you worth $500 billion or are you worth $1 trillion? You know who's going to be number one in Forbes? You got to know. That's what life is all about. When you get older, you realize that's not real value. Real value is not if you're number one, number two, number three. It's not the gold. It's what have you done for someone today? How have you interacted with other human beings? How do you conduct yourself with your fellow man? Silver is out in the street. It's not in the safe deposit vault. It's the means of communication with other people. That's real value. Klal Yisrael, when they were young, what did they do? What did they do, Klal Yisrael? They made an egel. What was the egel? Gold. And what was the egel? What was in essence the egel? It's all about us. The egel was all an excuse to say, you know something, we don't need you. We don't need to worship Hashem. We can take control of our own destiny. We will worship the eagle. Chazal said the purpose of the eagle is just to make a new religion. You make a new religion with your set of rules. I can marry this woman. I can marry that woman. I can do this Avera. You don't want to be restricted by the rules of the Creator. You make an eagle Hazaf. the gold wasn't just an accident. The reason why the egel came from Zav is because what is gold? When you're young, it's all about yourself. It's all about. When they came to build the Mishkan, they did teshuvah. They did teshuvah. And the building of the Mishkan is an eidos that Hashem has forgiven Klal Yisrael. They gave a lot of gold. I'll tell you a whole different idea before, when I told you before, there's a whole different idea. They gave gold. What was the gold for? What is the Mishkan all about? They gave gold to build the Aron. Gold for the Kruvim. Gold for the Shulchan. Gold for the Menorah. Gold for the clothing of the Kohen Gadol. Gold for the Krushim. Gold for the Adonim. Gold. There's gold wherever you go, there's gold. Everything is plated in gold. It's not about us. Gold, the purpose of gold, is just a tool to communicate with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's a tool to bring us all together in this one Makom. The Mishkan is the Mishkan for Klal Yisrael. It's a central location which unites and brings us all together. The reason why the revelation that HaKadosh Baruch Hu forgave Klal Yisrael with the building of the Mishkan is precisely because they used gold. For what purpose? Like what we use silver for. The example I gave was a general of art. When I was young, I thought gold was chashev. Then I realized what chashev is. Gold is worthless. You have gold in your safe deposit vault. When you listed number one in Forbes to be the richest man in the world, big deal. So what is that going to do for you? What is it going to do for you? What's if you'll take, you'll use your wealth as a tool to improve this world, as a means of giving benefit, creating something which will be mehane, will give benefit to your fellow man, then you've taken gold, you've made gold into silver. You've transformed the gold into silver. That's exactly what was happened here in the Mishkan. In the Mishkan, they took that same gold which they used to make an egel, which was purely for selfish purposes, to create a new religion that follows rules which are enticing and are comfortable for man to do whatever you want. And now they're taking that same gold and recognizing it. If that gold sits at home with us, it's worthless. The purpose of that gold is to use as a tool to serve Hashem, and likewise to bring us all together here in the Beis Hamidrash, the Makom of the Hashuas Hashchina. Okay, let's now go to another Vard at the end of the parasha.
So that was why the gold was not counted.
I don't have to even go there. Just the fact that the gold is front. The first thing listed in the parasha is the S Kol Hazahav. That's the first thing listed. Kol Hazahav Heasui LaMolacha B'Chol Molachas HaKodesh VaYizahav Atnufa. The fact that the first thing that we list in this listing of all of the items of the Bakuda, we don't relegate it to the very end. You want to say, also, we're going to make a cheshbon with it, you want to add that to it, fine. The fact that the gold is front and center, and it's being used as what we call chorif, it's being used as a tool to be ma'ached the entire Klal Yisrael. And number two, to connect with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, this is the complete opposite of what they used gold for when they built the egel, when they fashioned the egel. There the gold was used to completely separate themselves from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to create a new set of laws which are purely selfish and self-serving. They were very upset. A lot of what's rooted, we learned last week, what is rooted in the Chet or Egel is they were furious that the Torah told them they have to get divorced. Many people were married to women which now are forbidden. They're forbidden for them to remain forbidden to. And therefore, the giving of the Torah demanded the separation. They were denied pleasure that they had thus far. They didn't like that. And subconsciously, they wanted to rebel. And how did they rebel? They made a new religion. The new religion revolved around the Egel Hazav. Chazal said the only reason why you worship all the Zohar is in order to be Matir Arayos and all that goes along with it. It was selfish and self-serving. Here, they're taking that very same gold and they're using it not for selfish purposes, but to unite, to be ma'achay, to bring the Mishkan is the place, kivesi, base, tefil, l'chol anim. It's the place you all come together. And secondly, it's a tool to adarava, to connect to Kadosh Baruch Hu and to accept his sovereignty as malchus and to humble oneself. So that indeed is the fact that we listed number one and we don't make the calculation as well is an indication that this indeed is the ikar. Okay, let's go now to another idea. Let's go start with a short idea, the end of the parasha, then we'll go on something a little more significant. End of the parasha, it says here a very interesting pasuk. This is not my Amvarat. I'm not sure who says this. I saw this in the Sefer. I don't know who says this. I don't remember the name of the Mechadish. But let me present you what he says anyway. End of the parasha, it says, Moshe Rabbeinu is going to give a bracha to Klal Yisrael. Shetishrei gives two brachas to Klal Yisrael. Okay, the Yaki doesn't, this part he doesn't say. This part I'm just embellishing. Moshe gives Klal Yisrael two brachas. What are the two brachas? Doesn't say it anywhere in the Pasuk. Chazal tell us, Shetishrei Shechina b'masa yodeichem. Number two, he gave them a bracha, V'hinoyam Hashem Elokeinu leim b'masa yodeinu koneinu. Here it is. Let me turn the page. It's not in the parsha, the middle of the parsha. It's Pasuk Mem Gimel. Vayivorech oisa Moshe omar lahem yihi rotzoin shetishre shechina b'masa yideichem. May the shechina come to rest in the work of your hands. And Moshe is not finished yet. And then he gives them another bracha. V'hinoyam Hashem Elokeinu oleinu if Moshe Rabbeinu gives them the bracha, v'hi noyam, may it be pleasant, may the pleasantness, gesundheit of Hashem be upon us, and may HaKadosh Baruch Hu maaseh, may the work of our hands be established. May you be successful in what you do, and this base hamidosh may be successful. Now notice, in the second bracha, there is no mention of the Shechina. All it says is, may your labor, may it be acceptable, may it be established. The first bracha is more of a spiritual bracha. May HaKadosh Baruch Hu rest His divine presence amongst you. May Hashem be mashre, yiratzoin shetishre shechina b'maaseh yideichem. Why did Moshe Rabbeinu give them two separate blessings? One that has a more of a spiritual slant, and the second has more of a material slant. Well, look at the pasuk. The pasuk that Rashi is quoting from pasuk Mem Gimel. Let's go back to pasuk Mem Beis when they wind down doing all of the labor that was commanded of them. Kichol asher tziva Hashem es Moshe, kein osu bnei Yisrael es kol ho avoida. The word the pasuk uses to describe the labor of the Jewish people is the word avoida. Labor. All of the avoda that the Jewish people engaged was done. It was a command by Moshe Rabbeinu and it was done. Pasuk Mem Gimel, Vayar Moshe, es kol hamilocha. It's a different word. Not avoda. Hamilocha vine osu oisa. They did it. Kasher tziv Hashem kein osu. Vayivarech oisa Moshe. Then Moshe blessed them with this double blessing. What's going on over here? There's inconsistency. In the first pasuk, it uses the word avodah, and in the second pasuk, it uses the word milocha. What is the difference between milocha and avodah? So I saw in this beautiful sefer this idea is that avodah, it refers to your kavana. Avodah shebelev. Chazal tell us, what is avodah? The avadetem es Hashem Elokeichem. What does it mean, v'avadetem? Ezeh avoida asher b'leiv, zo tefillah, prayer. The word avoida does not only mean physical labor. It means your kavana, your intent, your frame of mind, your mindset. Milocha generally means your physical labor. The beauty of the building of the Mishkan was not just that. They had the best craftsmen. They had all the money. And they had time. Everything was fine and good. That's not what counts. What counts is kavana. When they built this structure, they built it with two things. Milocha and avoda. They did the hashtadlus. Not just the hashtadlus. They went over the top. The best of the best. The best of the best. The best artisans, the best craftsmen. Money was not an issue. The best of the best, that was the malacha. But that's not enough. That's worthless. If the kavana, the sincerity, is not injected into the labor, it's worthless. It has to be, by definition, a labor of love. A labor by itself is melacha. Love by itself is avoda. A labor of love is the synthesis of avoda and melacha. The pasuk here is very precise. It starts off, Kichol asher tziva Hashem es Moshe, according to everything which Hashem commanded, Kein osuv b'nei Yisrael es kol ha'avoda. They learned the psukim. They learned the halachas. They took it to heart. They took a liking. They fell in love with the lessons of what every single element of the Mishkan represented. And they took it seriously, with sincerity. And they proceeded to give the money, to hire the people, to do the job correctly. And indeed, Vayar Moshe kol ha'malacha. And in addition, Moshe saw that not only did the people do, were their hearts in the right place, the melacha was done perfectly. Now there's two extra words here in this pasuk. Kainasu. What's kainasu? Kasher tziva Hashem is going back on the previous pasuk. Vine osu oisa. Kasher tziva Hashem kainasu. The word Kain osu, it's repeated twice, and it surrounds the words tziva Hashem. But tziva Hashem is only appears in the first pasuk, the pasuk before, and that's exactly the point. In the center, front and center, was the sincerity, and the structure, the physical building, was just an external shell over the spiritual connection Klal Yisrael had to the mitzvahs that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given to them through Moshe. There was Kasher Tziva Hashem, that's the Avodah. And Moshe was so impressed. Look, the Melacha conformed exactly to the Kavana. And that's why these words are verbose. There are two psukim, which in itself is why you have two psukim before. Number two, if you want to have two psukim, fine. But why in the second pasuk is this ambiguity of repeating the word Asu with the words of Kasher Tziva, which is taken from the pasuk before. It fits like a glove. The pasuk before says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he taught Moshe Rabbeinu Torah on Har Sinai. He taught them what these items, what they represent. What does the Aron represent? What does the Shulchan represent? What does the Badim represent? What does the Perech represent? What does the Ki represent? What does the Big Day Kahuna represent? This is what Hashem Tziva, we have this Ad Hayom Hazeh, the lessons, Kasher Tziva Hashem, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu came into Moshe Rabbeinu in Har Sinai. Hashem didn't build a Mishkan in Har Sinai. Hashem told Moshe Rabbeinu the lessons of what these things are all about. And Moshe comes down, and Moshe now says to Klal Yisrael, let's now make a physical manifestation, a representation of these lessons. Vayar Moshe, it's called Hamalacha, the physical manifestation of the lessons. Vihinei, it's awesome. You went and you built a Mishkan which captures the spiritual essence of everything we've taught you. Awesome, the same lessons of Ruchnius that I've transmitted to you. That's exactly how you have brought it out in the physical manifestation. Kain Asu. And now you're deserving of a double blessing. Vayivarech Yisrael Moshe, I give you a double blessing. Number one, the Shekhinah should rest amongst you. A spiritual blessing. And number two, that spiritual blessing should manifest itself, mida keneged mida, in vehi noyam, Hashem Elokeinu Leinu, umase yodeinu. In your physical activities, that spiritual blessing should break forth and manifest itself. Mida keneged mida, the same way you took to heart the lessons of the Torah, and you've built a life around the lessons of the Torah. It's an incredible Musar Haskel. Every bias, every person who builds a house in Klal Yisrael, I'm not trying to say Shel Brachos Torah, but every person who leads a bias, who has a home, this is the message. There is the spiritual essence, and you build your bias. Your physical habitat is built according to the ruchnius of the Torah. It's kasher tziva Hashem, kein asu, kasher v'nei asu oisa. Your physical existence, kasher tziva Hashem, corresponds b'diyuk to the spiritual lessons of the Torah, Kenasu. And then you merit a double blessing. The Shechina rests in your home, and when that Shechina rests, it bursts forth in physical blessing, manifestation of the Shechina in everything that you do. Okay, now I want to go to another part. This part is very dear to my heart. I think it's a very powerful. It's rooted in the Chassam Sofer. It's not exactly what it says, and others, not only the Chassam, other people. Very, very simple question, and give you two answers. One answer is an answer. Another answer, I think, is something very deep. Moshe Rabbeinu, he erects the Mishkan. Unbelievable, right? He erects the Mishkan. And now the Shekhinah is here. The Shekhinah comes down, builds the Mishkan, unbelievable, and now the Shekhinah is about to come, and indeed the Shekhinah comes. Puts up the Mishkan, Vayokim es hachotzer, saviv lemishkan v'lemizbech, vayitin es mosoch ashar hachotzer, vayichal Moshe es hamelocha. That's it. The Mishkan has now been fully erected. What's next? The Ribbono shel Olam arrives. The Shekhinah is here. All rise. The Ribbono shel Olam has entered the hall. He is here. Vayichas Ha'anon es oihel moyet. Ribbono shel Olam has entered. Uchevoid Hashem mole es ha-mishkan. Okay, success. Home run. Out of the ballpark. They build for the Ribbono shel Olam an abode in this world. Okay, let's go visit. Knock on the door. Ribbono shel Olam has arrived, right? The Melech is here. He doesn't want to be alone. Let's give him an audience. Next pasuk. No. V'lo yochol Moshe lova yolel moed. Moshe can't go inside. Can't go. Why not? It's too holy. Kishochan olav he'onon. There's a cloud. Uchvoid Hashem mole yesan mishkan. Hashem's inside. I'm only a human being here, you know. I'm just a bust of a dam. I can't go inside there. The chvoid Hashem. That's it. That's the end of the parasha. But we wind down. The parasha pretty much is over. Chazak, chazak, v'nis chazek. The curtain closes. Hashem is inside this beautiful bayis. And Moshe is outside, standing there, scratching his head. I can't go inside. Curtain closes. Chazak, chazak, v'nis chazek. That's what happens in this parasha. Question. Only a couple of weeks ago, we learned about Matan Torah. And the Matan Torah, it says that Hashem came down on the mountain. Moshe had no problem going up the mountain to see Hashem. No problem. And gets better. After the Matan Torah was over, Hashem said, come to Shemayim. Come upstairs. Take the elevator. Here's the card. And, just swipe the card on the elevator and it'll take you all the way up. All the way up. The elevator doesn't have all the numbers. You know, certain numbers are missing on the elevator. Okay? Okay, there are certain, the elevator will take you up. Come upstairs. Did Moshe Rabbeinu have a problem going to Shemayim for 120 days and mingling with all of the angels and Metatroin and you name it, all of these interesting Midrashim? Moshe Rabbeinu had no problem. It doesn't say anywhere, not in the Chumash, not in Bavli, Yerushalmi, Tor, Shulchan Aruch, Midrashim, not even in the article footnotes. It doesn't say anywhere that Moshe Rabbeinu had an issue going into the place of Hashem's honor, into Hashem's closed chambers. No inner chambers. No issue. All of a sudden, you build a Mishkan here on this earth. Oh, v'lo yachol Moshe lov el ol moed kishochan olav ha'anon. Uchvoid Hashem mole yesan mishkan. What's going on here? What's going on here? Moshe, he didn't eat 40 days, 40 nights. Lechem o'yachal p'imayim Moshe sees, he goes to HaKadosh Baruch, he talks to Malachim, he's in Shemayim, and here all of a sudden he can't go inside? What am I high? Two answers. One answer is, Ein Achinami, a mokim kodosh that is built by human beings is even greater, more sacred than a mokum kodosh in Shemayim. The holiness on this world, would you believe such a word? Would you believe such a chiddush, to say such a chiddush?
Yeah.
That a makom kadosh that is created on this world is even more sacred than anything you can get in Shemayim. You can go to Shemayim, you can go wherever you want, you can go all the way up to the Kisya Kavod. No big deal. But Harabayas? Don't go on the Harabayas so quickly. Don't go into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Not for you. Even Moshe Rabbeinu, me godly Moshe Rabbeinu, he couldn't go inside. You know why? Because the people, Klal Yisrael, people of blood and flesh, gave their money with sincerity and built a makom in honor of Hashem to serve Hashem. That sanctity that can be created by human beings is infinitely greater than anything you can get upstairs. That's what it says. I'm not making this up. This is not what it says in the Pasuk. In the Mefarshim, they say this idea. And it's an incredible idea, incredible yisod, just to go how not to appreciate what Kedusha is. That's one idea. Now, let's go another idea. This is a little bit different. Mefarshim, this question I just told, they struggle with this. And Mefarshim, the Chassam Sofer, they struggle. Something struck me from the Chassam Sofer. It's not what Chassam Sofer says, but I'm drawing from his ideas.
Do we say this by Kedusha? When we say, Hashem Chabot Oilem, Hashem Shemak Dishem, Osof, Hashem more wrong.
It's even more. Hashem Shemak Dishem, we're making Kedusha on this world, but the Kedusha that we make on this world, we're imitating what they do there. But we can outdo that. We're going to be Mekadesh Bo Oilem, Hashem Shemak Dishem, but we're going to do it even better.
Yeah.
We'll do it even better than they can.
That's
do it.
That's what you're saying.
Yeah. I don't take full credit for this. I don't even remember what part is mine, but this is an idea that I've seen brought out. The name of the sefer, how can I not remember the name of the sefer? I invest a lot of money in this. It was very expensive. 5 volumes. I saw it in the store. I liked it. I bought 5 volumes and got a lot of home runs from it. It was a good investment. Okay, and it's called, I have to remember, I'll try to remember. Okay, then he quotes a Chassam Sofer and he says something which is very interesting, which I wanted to spend the last few minutes on. The Chassam Sofer says it's not a kasha. I didn't say it's not a kasha. He said, if you look very carefully the difference between Parshas Pikudei and Matan Torah, you'll see there's a slight difference in expression. Parshas Pikudei, it says, there was a cloud. Vayichas He'onon es oel moed. There was a cloud on top of the old moed. Where, though, is the kvoid Hashem? Uchvoid Hashem mole es ha-mishkan. It doesn't say anywhere that the cloud entered the mishkan. The cloud was told, you stay outside. Okay, there were guards by the door of the mishkan, and the clouds came, a look on the security list, who is invited? No, the guest list. Mr. Cloud, doesn't matter if you're from Google or you're from Adobe or you're from Dropbox. Mr. Cloud, you know what I'm talking about? No text here? Okay? Today it's all in the cloud. I told a person, he's probably in his mid-80s, he asked me, how do you store? I says, he said, you don't store. You have a disk, you have a floppy disk, you have a cassette. I says, no, nothing. Today you don't store. I says, what? You have to have a cassette, a VHS. You have to have a big disk, 5-inch disk, 3-inch disk, a hard drive, at least a flash drive. I said, no. You're old-fashioned. You're from a free digger. Today you don't store information anywhere. It's in the cloud. Everyone knows this, right? All the information today is in the cloud. No storage, no physical storage anymore. There are physical storage in Arizona, in a basement somewhere in Arizona. All of your information, that's the cloud. Okay, the cloud comes to the cloud comes to the front door of the oil moed. And the Shomer HaPesach says, what's your name? I'm the Anan, the cloud of Hashem. I'm sorry, buddy, you're not on the guest list. You don't get in. Go back where you came from. So it hovers on top. It hovers. The Kavoid Hashem comes. No clouds. The Kavoid Hashem. OK, Okay, you're on the guest list. You can come inside. Moshe Rabbeinu wants to come inside. Moshe, can you come inside? Moshe, you don't need Moshe, you have free pass. You go wherever you want. Moshe Rabbeinu, you don't need to be on the guest list. Moshe, who's inside? The Kavod Hashem. I'm not going in there. No, no, no. The Kavod Hashem is in there. I'm scared. Even though I can't, I don't want to go in there.
Why is it called the Kavod Hashem instead of Hashem?
It says, because Hashem, we can't relate to Hashem. Hashem is infinite. That's what it says. Infinite. You can't relate to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's too infinite. We have to be mitzamsem Hashem. And mitzamsem, we have to make a miniaturization, a limitation, in order we can relate with. It says over the on the uncovered el moed, but the kavod Hashem molei esam mishkan. V'lo yochel Moshe lova el ol moed. Why? So it says, Kishochan alav he'onon, the cloud was on the outside, uchvoid Hashem, but the kvoid Hashem was molei esam mishkan. Moshe cannot go to the place of the kvoid Hashem if it's separate from the cloud. Quickly, Parshas Mishpatim, describing Matan Torah, what does it say there when Moshe goes to Shemayim? When Moshe goes on the mountain, what does it say there very quickly? I'll show you what it says. Avail will finish up the book very quickly. Parshas Mishpatim, when we turn back, here we go. Mishpatim, towards the end of the parasha. Vil Moshe Omar, Alei El Hashem, come to Shemayim, or come to the mountain. Alei El Hashem, Atav Yarnu Leviu, V'nigash Moshe, V'yovei Moshe, let's go further here, the post exactly what I need. V'yomer Hashem El Moshe, Alei Elai Hehora, come to the mountain again. Vayal Moshe el Hohor. Vayichas Hehonon es Hohor. Vayishkoim Kvoid Hashem al Har Sinai. And look what it says now. The Kvoid Hashem. Oh, same thing, right? So far, so good. The Kvoid Hashem, the same Kvoid Hashem that came into the Mishkan is now resting on Har Sinai. But it says also, Vayichaseyu Hehonon Sheishes Yon. It was mixed together. The Shomer HaPesach allowed both the Onon and the Kvod Hashem to come into the mountain, on top of the mountain. Vayikra El Moshe, Hashem says to Moshe, Moshe, come in. Bayoim Hashvi, Mitoich HeOnon, the cloud. So it says here, the Chasam Sofer makes this point, by Har Sinai, You know why Moshe was able to go inside out? Because the Kvod Hashem was enveloped in the cloud. They were intermingled. The cloud and the Kvod Hashem were all synthesized. In the Mishkan, they were separated. The cloud was on the outside, the Kvod Hashem on the inside. Moshe can go and deal with the Kavod Hashem when there's an Onon together. In other words, the smoke screen. When it's then Moshe can go inside. But into the Mishkan, Moshe couldn't go because when HaKadosh Baruch Hu separated the cloud from the Kavod Hashem, then Moshe can't go inside.
Shemayim, was it directly Hashem?
It doesn't say, when he went to Shemayim, it means he went to the top of the mountain. That's really what it means.
Which parasha? Yeah, the end of
Pekudei. And what does it say? Moshe couldn't go. Hashem told him, gave him permission to go.
So comes the other pasuk.
When the on went away, that was a sign. Okay, the Chasam Sofer, but he pauses. Velo yochel. This is Chasam Sofer. Not making the Chasam Sofer. Velo yochel. What is the emphasis of v'lo yochel? Why does it say those words? It doesn't say here v'lo yochel. It doesn't say anywhere here. The Chasam Sofer asked this. It doesn't say v'lo yochel. Okay, we have to go through the nuances. But there definitely is a clear distinction between the Mishkan and Har Sinai. By Har Sinai, there was much more access. The access was much, much easier for Moshe Rabbeinu to the mountain than there was the emphasis of stay out of here. Don't come in here unless I give you the signal I take you inside. There was a much more security. There was much more security by the Mishkan than there was by Har Sinai. And the Chasam Sofer says, the reason why we find this degree of security is because in the Mishkan, there was a clear separation of the Kvod Hashem from the Onan. And Har Sinai, there was no separation. And when there's no separation, Moshe Rabbeinu was able to come and go as he wished. Come and go, because no. Now, that's what the Chasam Sofer says. That's where it starts, stops. Now, what's the significance of this? This relates to the poem very, very well. So it comes out what? That a person has much greater access to the Kavod Hashem when the Kavod Hashem is enveloped in the cloud. What is a cloud? Darkness. Darkness. When a person lives, Achmanu Litzlan, in dark times, Purim, the Anochi Haster Aster Panai Bayom Ahu. If you're willing to go into that cloud, and you can, you have access, you'll be able to be Nene from the Kavod Hashem. When everything is wonderful and good and fine, and the clouds on the outside, and the Kavod Hashem is clear, crystal clear, you know something? It's not so simple that you have a right to benefit from the Kavod Hashem. You don't get access unless you're invited in to the Kavod Hashem. Hashem has to signal to you, you can now come in. In the good times of Klal Yisrael, which only be good times, you need to be invited in. But when you're living in Golis, now we're in Golis, it's not clear. Right now we're living in the Anon. We're living in times of the cloud. When you're in the cloud, you have full, unrestricted access to the Kavod Hashem. Moshe Rabbeinu had full, unrestricted access to the Kavod Hashem when the Kavod Hashem was enveloped in the cloud. And the cloud is symbolic of what? The Anoichi Haster Astir Panai Bayoyim Ahu. When we're living in times...
Esther.
Exactly. We were able to... We have the Emuna. Lech Kenois Eskol HaYehudim Mitzumu Olai, to have Emuna that the Koyach of Tefillah is going to work. And all of this will work out for the best. To have that Emuna, the Kavod Shemayim that came from that is off the charts. It's something you can never gain when it's crystal clear outside. You want, when in times of Mashiach, when everything is fine and good, and there's a separation between the Kavod Hashem and the Anan, not necessarily are you going to have access to come into the Kavod Hashem. Hashem has to invite you in. V'lo yochol Moshe lovoi. Moshe is not able to go. Only when Hashem invites you. But in times of galus, when the kavod Hashem, the honor of Hashem, is enveloped in the cloud and they're not separated, just go right in. Doors open. You can be nene if you want. You have to want to be nene. You have to want to understand and to see the kavod Hashem. The potential is infinite. It's that much greater. So perhaps this is a little bit of an explanation of the difference to this very big question. Rabbi Neumann is correct. You have to study the Pesukim to clearly see what the Chasam Sofer means, this difficulty. Understand the difference between why it says in Parshas Pekudei V'lo Yochel Moshe Lovai, why the Torah makes that emphasis, and it does not make that emphasis whatsoever when it comes to Har Sinai. There's Hagbalah for Klal Yisrael, but Moshe Rabbeinu is up and down, no issue whatsoever. There's nothing to worry about. Whenever he wants, he comes and goes. Not here. What's the difference? The difference is, look, we explain two answers. One answer is the difference between HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Shechina and man's Kedusha. Answer number two is the difference when the Kavod Hashem and the cloud are separate when they're together. Have a wonderful Shabbos. Chazak, chazak, v'nis chazek.
Remember the clock.